ద్వయం శ్రీపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాతకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శ్రీ
శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి హరశీల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం నథిలీలా ప్రవిష్టోం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిప్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శిలహరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపగోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాగుండ గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి హిమయమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి నమస్తే సరస్వదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుమీలితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టాం సాదునానుభూతయే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాం సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాం చ. నమా ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంతస్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవీ గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశధారిణి. నమాహం విష్ణుపదాయ స్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తసిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి ఇది నామిని. శ్రీవర్షభానవిదేవి దైదాయ కృపాబ్ధయే కృష్ణసంబంధ విజ్ఞానం దాయిదే ప్రభవే నమః. మాధుర్యోజ్వల ప్రేమాగ్నే శ్రీరూపానుగ భక్తిదా శ్రీగౌరకరుణాశక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తు. నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనతారిణి రూపనూక విరుద్ధావసిద్ధాంతద్వంద్వహారిణి. నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబరసాంబోధే పాదాంబుజాయే నమ. నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచ్చిదానందనామిని గౌరశక్తిస్వరూపాయ రూపనూగవరాయ తే. గౌరావిర్భవభూమే స్వం నిర్దోష్టా సజ్జన ప్రియ వైష్ణవ సర్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయ తే నమ. వంశకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యేవ చ హరిదానాం భావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమ. నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణప్రేమ ప్రదాయ తే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణచైతన్యనామ్నే గౌరత్వశే నమః. పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాక్తియం. హే కృష్ణకరుణా సింధు దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధా కాంత నమోస్తుతే. వేదం సురదో భంగో మమ మందమదేర్గది మత్సర్వస్య పదాంబోజౌ రాధా మదనమోహనౌ దివ్యవృందారణ్యకల్పద్రుమాదౌ శ్రీమద్రత్నాకరసింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీశ్రీరాధాశీలగోవిందదేవౌ ప్రేష్టాలిభిః సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి. శ్రీమంద్రాసరసారంభి వంశీపటతటస్థిత కర్షాన్వేణుస్వనేర్గోవేర్గోపినాథాశ్రయేస్తునా సప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుదే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే శ్రీ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ రామ హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే Discussing the 37th Sutram last Saturday, where Sri Narada Maharshi says, Loge Abhi Bhagavad Guna Shravana Kirtanad. Even one, when one is living in this material world, still, even though he has to engage in various dealings in this world, still, one should continue to execute Bhagavad Dharma Guna Shravana Kirtanad. It should continue. That's what we spoke about. And when Parikshit Maharaj asked Sudeva Goswami, he also said the same thing to him. Tasmal Bharata Sarvalma Bhagavan Hari Ishwara Shrodavya Kirtidavyascha Smartavya Shechadabhayam. In the second canto, when Parikshit Maharaj, when Sudeva Goswami arrived on the scene and Bhagavadam just started, that first thing he asked was the questions from Rajavaja, you will see in the Bhagavatam second canto beginning. Parikshit asking a few questions. What should one do at the time of death? This was the question. What should one do at the time of death? So, Sudeva Goswami spoke about the nature of the conditioned soul in this world. And he also mentioned there that Variyan Yashadam Prashna. This question what you have raised is very good, because it will, in the future, people will have the same question in front of them, what one should do at the time of death. So it is an answer to that. He said, Dehavutra kalatradishu atmasainya shasalsobi tesham pramantanithanam pashyanabi na pashyadi. He says there that when one is absorbed in the family and country and all the other expansions of one's life in this world, they have a material body, wife, kalatram, and children, all of them, everything. Atmasainyashu asalsavi, that's all considered atmasainyam. Protect yourself from the eventual death, that's what's going to come. So, tesham pramatta nithanam pashyan navina pashyadi, because he is completely enamored by all these things around him, pashyan navina pashyadi, he doesn't see the death that is coming in front of him. He doesn't see that. And then he says, tasmal bhada sarvalma. The only thing one has to do at the time of death is Tasmad Bharata, addressing Parikshit as Bharatam. He says, Tasmad Bharata Sarvalma Bhagavan Hari Ishwara. Krishna, who is the soul of everybody, Sarvalma Bhagavan Hari Ishwara, who is the supreme controller, supreme personality. Shrodavya Kirtidavyascha Smartavyascha Chadabhaya. He should hear about him, about Krishna. He should glorify about Krishna and he should remember about Krishna. Smartavyascha Chadabhayam. That is the only protection for him. That is where we stopped last Saturday. And after that, after saying that, when one is engaged even in the material life, even in that time, in his transactions, by mind, he should somehow absorb in the remembrance of Krishna and chanting the holy name. And that is, and he spoke about that. And then, after that, Narada Maharshi says, we are discussing now bhakti sadhana, isn't it? What sadhana bhakti means? So Bhakti Sadhanani is the name of this chapter, Bhakti Sadhanani, Bhakti Sadhana. So he says there that how does one get bhakti? This is an important question, isn't it? How to get bhakti? So mainly Narada Maharshi's answer to that, it comes from the mercy of pure devotees. Mercy of pure devotees. That's why he says in that next sutram you will see Mukhyatastu Mahatkrabayaiva Bhagavad Kripalesha. And mainly Mahatkrabayaiva, some great devotee who has got bhakti or who has reached that state of self-realization, by his mercy, Mahatkrabayaiva, or possibly by Bhagavad Kripalesha, or by Krishna's mercy. Either way, one can receive bhakti. He can get bhakti in either way. Either by the mercy of great realized souls, jnanis or devotees, or by the mahatmas, in other words, or by the mercy of Krishna. That's what Narada Maharshi says here. Mukhyadastu mahatkravyaiva, mainly mahatkravyaiva. That means mahatmas kripa or their mercy. Bhagavad kripa leshadva. But sometimes by Krishna's mercy also one can have bhakti. One can have bhakti. Now here, we discussed before, living up sense gratification, which is vishayatyagam, giving up sense gratification. Sangatyagam, that means giving up association with materialistic persons. And all these things depends on one's effort only, isn't it? One's effort only. Even you can see in material life also, you can attain certain things onto some limited state, in some limited way. Not unlimitedly you can achieve even in the material life. If it is like that, even material life, spiritual life, material life is like that, that with our effort, sometimes we are successful, sometimes we are not. So success is not completely in our hands, it depends on various other issues as well. So he says here, if it is like that, it is limited to, if it is like that, what to talk about spiritual life? What to talk about? Spiritual life. Simply we have to get rid of this concept from our head that it's by my effort that I'll make it a success in spiritual life. It is never like that. It's not by our effort that we become successful in spiritual life. This is the first thing. So mainly Krishna consciousness or love for Krishna develops from the mighty mercy of other great devotees. And sometimes they'll say that Krishna's mercy and the mercy from the great souls, they are one and the same. They are not practically different. But it is easier, it's easier to receive the mercy from Mahatma than from Krishna. Than from Krishna. Because so long as we are in this body, and so long as our identification with the body is so strong, it is impossible for us to relate with Krishna as he is, as much as we can relate with a living personality. With a living personality. So, Ishvara Kripa, Krishna's mercy and Mahatma's or mercy also, in the same way, all the spiritual literature you will see that Mahal Sangam, association with Mahatmas, has been given a lot of importance. And the same thing is explained in the Bhagavadam in several instances. In one instance you can see Narada talks about his own experience, isn't it? If you think about Narada Maharshi's life, he also says the same thing what happened to him. That he was a boy, little boy, mother was a servant maid in the house of a Brahmana, and she was doing all the household work. Narada Maharshi was left to play alone, and he was living his life like that. It was at that time by for Chaturmasyam, a few sages came that way. The Brahmana received them and made all arrangements for the sages to stay for 4 months to execute their Chaturmasyam. So while they were living there, they allowed and this Brahmana asked Narada Maharshi to engage in their service. They have already made all arrangements for the sages to stay. But still, they told Narada that if you want anything more than what you've arranged, you can ask this boy Narada and send Narada with them to serve him. So Narada stayed there. Narada was not a devotee at that time, in the sense that Narada hasn't had any spiritual training, hasn't had any samskaram or any kind of association with anyone. But during that time, while he was associating with the sages, due to their mercy, that you will see in the Bhagavadam, that the four sages, they performed the Chaturmasyam, and after their morning anushtanam, morning program, in the afternoon they used to talk about Krishna. But when they saw that Narada Maharshi was very inquisitive to hear about Krishna, they spoke about Krishna's childhood pastimes in such a way that Narada Maharshi could understand. Narada was a little boy. He could not understand, otherwise the Vedantam and all is beyond his reach, philosophically, things like that. But they spoke about Krishna and Krishna's childhood pastimes, which Narada Maharshi heard from them and got attracted to it. So when the time has come for them to leave the Brahmana's house, they called Narada Maharshi, and Narada Maharshi was asking, telling them, who will tell me about Krishna now when you go? Narada Maharshi's mind has got so much purified inside. So he says there that, who will talk to me about Krishna? In the Bhagavadam, if you look, you will see that. Who will talk to me about Krishna? Narada Maharshi naturally got attracted to Krishna's childhood activities. And it was then that the sages put their hand on Narada Maharshi's head and told him that whatever you have heard so far, just keep that in your thoughts and everything will come out okay. They blessed him with that and then they left. Narada Maharshi says, after that, I don't know what has happened to me. That very evening after they left, the very evening when the mother went to milk the cow, it was twilight in the evening, she got bitten by a snake and she died. Narada Maharshi says, all my connections with the world is over now. Without waiting for anything, he left home, that place, and went towards the north, thinking about Krishna and looking, where will I find him? He wandered around every so many places and eventually he reached a forest where he drank some water from the river and sat down underneath the tree and thought about Krishna, and Krishna appeared in front of him and spoke to him. That's all there in the first canto, you know, in the Bhagavadam. So there, Narada Maharshi, because he has this personal experience of receiving that mercy from the sages, that is why he is saying here that mukhyadastu mahankravayaiva, everything became very easy for him because he received that mercy like that. It has become so easy. He was not performing any sadhana before that. Just heard about Krishna. That's the only thing he did. But it has suddenly changed inside. So that's why in the if you look into Bhagavadam, Rishabhadev talks about this to his own children. He was not an ordinary person, Rishabhadev. He had a big householder. He was 100 children he had. Mahandaste samachitta prashanda mahanyava vimanyava samudha sadhavoye, he says there. Vimanyava suhrada sadhavoye. Mahandasta, who is Mahalma, he says. Samachitaha, always equally minded. Prashandaha, always peaceful. Vimanyava suhrada sadhavoye, freedom from anger. And Vimanyava suhrada sadhavoye, always friendly to all other living entities. And by their association, one will receive that mercy. Mahal sevayam dwaramaharu vimuktam. Tamo dwaram yoshidam sangi sangam mahandaste samachitta prashandaha vimanyava suhrada sadhavoye. In the Bhagavadam you will see this verse. Mahatsevayam dwaram ahur vimuktam. The door for liberation is open when you serve the great souls. By service you get that when you serve the great personalities. Mahatsevayam dwaram ahur vimuktam. The gate for the liberation is open to them. Tamodvaram yoshidam sangi sangam. Those who are attached to sense gratification in this world, for them the door to hell is also open. Mahandaste samachitta prashandaha vimanyeva suhrada sadhavoye. Mahatmas are those people who are always freedom from anger, equally placed towards everyone, and prashanda, always in a peaceful state. and their association, one should take, one should seek their shelter, he says there. So there are many ways how bhakti can develop in a person, but mainly it is Mahakriba, the mercy of the great soul. Satsangas Shevadhir Nranam, in the Bhagavatam it says Satsangam. Satsangam is given an importance there. So Krishna's mercy is continuously flowing everywhere. But so Krishna has created this material world only with this intention that we will get an opportunity to experience our results or karma, and also the opportunity to serve the Mahatmas. So Vedam, sages and the great devotees, they are all Krishna's representative in this world. So when a living entity feels some desire in spiritual life, that is also Krishna's mercy. That's also Krishna's mercy. We think that we can be interested in spiritual life, we will plan spiritual life in our own way. It doesn't work like that. When we feel some attraction for spiritual life, that means from inside Krishna is prompting us to come to spiritual life. So little bit of Krishna's mercy is the key in these things, is the key in these things. So because all living entities are parts and parcels of Krishna, Ishwaramsham, because it is like that, it is natural that the jiva, conditioned soul, will have a attraction for Krishna. It is a natural thing in everyone. So however powerful it may become, the forces from Maya, however powerful they may be, this desire inside will never go. Somehow or the other, it will turn to Krishna at some point in our long journey. So in that process, if he gets an opportunity to associate with a pure devotee or realized souls, it will, they will take them to the to Krishna's lotus feet at the end. So so when one takes shelter at that point of these great Mahatmas, at that time their life becomes successful. Their life becomes successful. That's why he says in the next sutram, Mahal Sangastu Durlabho Agamyo Amoghascha. He says here. That is also a reality. Although Krishna, Narada Maharshi says there, either by Krishna's mercy or Mahatma's mercy, bhakti can develop inside. Then in the next sutram he says, and that's a rare thing. What's a rare thing? Getting association with a Mahatma is a very rare thing. Mahal Sangastu Durlabho. And first of all, Agamyo Amoghascha. To know that they are Mahatmas is first thing difficult. One thing. Secondly, even if you get it, even if you get it, and if you come still come to know about that, it will not go wasted. It will not go wasted. So first thing is to get to know who is a Mahatma and get their association. Normally our nature that we live in the way we like it, isn't it? In this world. When difficulties come, people go to some Mahatma to find out what should I do now and ask for their mercy. Ask for their mercy. And Mahatmas are very, very rare. So even if there are sometimes there are great Mahatmas living in this world, because we are caught up in our own life in this world, we may not get there to get to see them. You can see that in this world there are many, many Mahatmas living, but still due to our own prarabdham or due to lack of Krishna's mercy, you can say that we are still stuck in the situation where we are. We never get that opportunity to go. For example, ill health or due to other reasons, entanglement in the family life, distance, so, or even problems in the family. All these things can become an issue. So, so only when Krishna's mercy comes, circumstances will happen in such a way that that energy is there in this world. That when our inquiry or when our inquiry becomes genuine and we have done our homework, that means our own purification enough, and when we are ready for that, there is arrangement in this world, somehow or the other that personality will come in front of us. That personality will come in front of us. That is how. And there is it's an unbreakable law. That is what Bhagavatam is teaching us. You can see there when Narada Maharshi when Prahlada was in the womb of Kayadhu, and Kayadhu was going through these difficult times, Prahlada was there in the womb, Sri Narada Maharshi came to instruct Prahlada at that time. By divine arrangement, by Krishna's arrangement, Krishna felt the need that Prahlada is a devotee, he need to be protected. And therefore, Krishna sent Narada Maharshi to Kayadhu. And Krishna knew very well, instructing Kayadhu at this stage will not help very much, because Kayadhu was not ready for it. Whereas Prahlada was ready for it inside. Prahlada, you have to remember, the four Kumaras incarnation is Prahlada. Sananda, Sanadana, Sanadana, Sanat Kumara. There, Sanaga, Sanandana, Sanadana, Sanat Kumara. The four Kumaras, they had to come as Prahlada. What happened was, when Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu took birth, in the Varaha incarnation, in the Vaikuntha planet, what happened? That four Kumaras went to see Vishnu. At that time, Jay and Vijaya put and stopped them. Because of that, they were cursed. They were cursed. Jay and Vijaya had to come as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. At the same time, Mahavishnu comes there, and there was a conversation between Mahavishnu, Jay Vijaya, and the Kumaras. That conversation, if you read, you will see there, that first of all, the Kumaras apologized to Mahavishnu for getting angry. It should not have happened. All the four Kumaras are realized personality. And in Vaikuntham, if you start getting angry, it is not Vaikuntham anymore, he said. Here you can get angry, but in Vaikuntham, it is not expected to get angry there. So why did that happen? And in Vaikuntham, the two gatekeepers, Jay and Vijaya, they were not supposed to behave like this either. That they stopped Kumaras from entering to go and see Vishnu. They should have had the common sense not to behave like that. So it was at that time that Mahavishnu came and started apologizing to Kumaras for what has happened. It was my mistake, Mahavishnu says, that I should have come and received you properly. Mahavishnu is like that. Always very respectful to the great souls like the Kumaras. He says, I should have come and received you and taken you inside. That was my mistake, he says. Jay and Vijaya by now felt the offense they have made, and they started apologizing for what they have done. Because earlier, Mahalakshmi has complained about them to Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu has always been saying to Mahalakshmi, when the right time comes, I'll sort them out. So this is how that incident happens. So Mahavishnu told Mahalakshmi that at the right time, I will change this Jay Vijaya. Because once Jay Vijaya stopped, Mahalakshmi also going inside. So these things are happening in Vaikuntham. So Mahavishnu, anyway, felt sad that they offended the Kumaras like this. They had come to see Vaikuntham first time because they heard that Mahavishnu has created this Vaikuntham and they wanted to come. They are Nirguna Bhadis. Nirguna Brahmam is there. They are Brahman realized souls. So when they came, Mahavishnu felt that he should have come and received them properly. Mahavishnu apologized. And then when Jay Vijaya heard that Mahavishnu was upset about this, what they have done, they also felt bad about it. They also apologized. And the Kumaras also apologized for cursing them, which they should have never done to them. So Mahavishnu said to them that you will have to take three births, Jay and Vijaya. And that's what you know, that they had to come as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and Shishubala and Dandavatra. At the same time, that they had to accept this demoniac body, demonic nature, demonic body. Because this curse has come from Kumaras, they also had to come in the same way to the material world in three births. They also had to take. And that is how they came as Prahlada in Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha came. They had to come as Prahlada. This is Prahlada's background. So you can see, by realization in nature, they were in a realized state. But because of this incident in Vaikuntha planet, they also had to come here. So all the four Kumaras has come together as Prahlada. Prahlada is that person. So Mahavishnu said to them, even if you go to the material world, Still, at the right time, I will instruct you properly the knowledge and get you out of that situation. And that's how when Prahlada came, Narada Maharshi was sent there to instruct him in the womb of Kayadhu. So, Narada Maharshi, so you can see that Krishna's arrangements is always there behind it. It is us who actually forget that Krishna has no role in our spiritual life. Everything is our effort, our plan, what we do, how we make it. This is all our misunderstanding about spiritual life. Spiritual life, we have only few things to do. That is, from our side, we have to purify ourselves by chanting the holy name, by following, living a life of dharmam, and maintaining ourselves in a state of mind which is in a surrendered state to Krishna. And when we are ready, when Krishna says we are pure enough to receive that right message, Krishna's duty is to send that person to us. In Dhruva Maharaj's case also you will see the same thing. Dhruva Maharaj, after being offended by Uttanavada, the king, he goes back to Mother Suriji, and Suriji says to him that you should come and take birth in my womb next life, then you can sit in Uttanavada's lap. He said. Dhruva got so offended, he goes and tells his mother Suniti about it. Suniti says to Dhruva, what Suriji has said is correct, that it is my misfortune that I have not been favored by the king. Rather, Suriji is there. And what she told you is the correct thing, that you should worship Krishna and everything will be okay. And Suriji's instructions, Dhruva Maharaj goes to the forest. While going, Krishna sends Narada Maharshi to him to instruct him in spiritual life. So throughout Bhagavatam you will notice this. When we are ready, the person will be there to tell us what to do next. What should be the next thing to do. And it is only that, this is why you can notice also, when Parikshit was ready for leaving the body, when he really wanted to understand before death what one should do, and he had that genuine inquiry inside, Sudeva Goswami arrived. Yadrchaya, says Bhagavatam, by his desire, Krishna's desire, he happened to come there. When Angiras Maharshi, Chitragedu was in trouble, when the son was born and the son died, because he had so many wives and ultimately one son was born from Kritajudi, and the child died, and Chitragedu was ready to leave home. And Chitragedu was ready to go, Angiras Maharshi comes there on the scene. And he instructs Chitragedu about spiritual life. Narada Maharshi joined him later. So all over Bhagavatam, you will notice this one thing, that from our side is to get ready for it. And sending the personality to instruct us is Krishna's responsibility. That arrangement is there in the nature. That arrangement is always there in the nature. We should not have too much concern about it. That what will happen to us if I don't have a spiritual master. These things are not that important. That is why he says here that the that many times, even if we come to know, because only if we are pure inside, even if you see a personality like that, you will recognize him. Most of these great souls, they will wander around in this world in such a way that you won't even recognize them. Bala Unmata Pishajavad, about Sukadeva Goswami says, about all of them, if you look at them, whether it is Sukadeva Goswami, whether it is Rishabhadev, whether it is Dattatreya Maharshi, whether it is Jatabharata, all of them were mad people, practically from the point of view of the world, isn't it? They were mad. They didn't dress properly, they didn't eat properly, and they wandered around in the world in a strange state of mind as far as this world is concerned. So it is not easy to recognize a Mahatma. But you can see, whoever has recognized them, they were very advanced devotees. Like Jatabharata was recognized by whom? By Rahugana. Rahugana was very learned. He had all the qualifications in him, except that he was not free from his bodily concept of life. And that was the only thing that was causing problem for him. And Rahugana, that is why Jatabharata decided to instruct him when he met, isn't it? That he says here in the Bhagavatam, there is a verse about that. Rahuganaita tapasanayadi na chejaya nirvapanad grahadva. Nirvapanad grahadva. ന ഛന്ദസ നൈവജല അഗ്നിസൂര്യവൽ വിനാ മഹൽപാദ രജോഭിഷേകം രജോഭിഷേകം രഹു പറഞ്ഞ ജലവ്രത സൈസ്റ്റു രഹുഗണ രഹുഗണ യു ആർ വെരി ലേണഡ് ഐ ഫുള്ളി റെക്കഗ്നൈസ് ദാറ്റ് ഈ സൈറ്റ് ബട്ട് രഹുഗണ ന തപസാനയാദി ന ചേജയ നിർവപണാൻ ഗൃഹാദ്വ ദാറ്റ് ബട്ട് യു ആർ തിങ്കിങ് ദാറ്റ് യു ക്യാൻ ഗെറ്റ് ഇറ്റ് ബൈ യുവർ ഓൺ എഫേർട്ട് And this is what the Mahatmas do to us. When we meet them, they'll make us understand that with your effort alone, you can't get it. This is the first thing in spiritual life. That we cannot get it by our effort. By performing sacrifices, nirvamanat grihadva, or any other sacrifices what's recommended in the Shastram. If you perform them, no guarantee that you will get the truth. Na chandasa, or by studying Vedam, there is no guarantee. Naiva jala agni suryor vina. Not even standing in the water and performing so many austerities or in the fire. These are the two places where normally people perform austerities, either in the water, in the river, or in the fire, standing in the middle of the fire. Chandasa naiva jala agni suryo vinam halpada rajobhishekam. Without serving a mahatma, you won't get it. The truth, you see, we are trying to get filtered through all these things. Vedic literature is a vast ocean. We are studying so many aspects of the Vedic conclusions through Upanishads, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Sutram, so many books, is guiding us in that process. Ultimately, to get that filter that truth out and becomes getting realized is our responsibility. But in that process, whatever we may study the Shastram, if there is no mercy, vinam ahalpada rajobhishekam, it is that thing that eventually sparks off everything, which eventually clears the road to spiritual life, in our spiritual life, which turns into self-realization. So the same thing happened with Rahugana and Jadabharata. If you look in the Ekadasha Skandam, you will see King Yadu came. Yadu came and when he saw Dattatreya Maharshi lying in the banks of River Kaveri, Dattatreya Maharshi was completely naked and he was lying in the sand. There was nobody there. He was just lying there. So happy he was. Yadu goes to him and asks him, what is the source of your happiness? I am a king. I've got everything at home. Palace is wonderful, all facilities and lifestyle is very glorious. But still, how come I don't have the same happiness? How come this question came from Yadu? Because Yadu was ready for it. Previously, if you remember, Yayadi asked Yadu to exchange his old age for his youth. Yayadi was old and Yadu was young. Yadu was the eldest. And Yayadi calls him and says to him that I want to enjoy more my life in this world. Why don't you exchange your youth to me? I'll give you the old age and you can become the emperor afterwards. Yadu says to Yayadi, I'm not interested in this emperor business. I just want to use this life for the right purpose. So you can see at that time itself, Yadu's mind was very much fixed on self-realization, in other words. And although he was not given the emperorhood or anything, still he travelled around and when he saw Dattatreya Maharshi, he had the right question to ask him. And normally such personalities won't speak to ordinary people. But when they found that here is the pot to receive the message, he gave the instructions of the 24 spiritual masters to him. Isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, you know that story. Four or five chapters talked about the Krishna quotes this between Yadu and the Dattatreya Maharshi, that conversation in the 24 spiritual masters when Krishna begins instructions to Uddhava. So that's another incident. Jadabharata with Rahugana, Yadu with Dattatreya. Similarly, you can also see that when Parikshit was ready, Sugriva Goswami came to instruct him about it, to instruct him about the truth. So this arrangement is already there in the nature. When we do not get that connection with the Mahatma or Mahandaste Samajitta Prashanda Vimanyava Sukhada Sadhoye, when we are not getting that, we have to understand that we are not ready. That is why it's not happening. There is some attachment inside, or it's serious spiritual inquiry has not started yet. So, therefore, and as I mentioned before, all of these personalities, Bala, Unmatta, Pishachavat, they used to wander around like children, as though they are crazy, unmattam, and they dressed like pishaj, like devils, devilish nature. That's how you'll see the photograph of the pictures that's been drawn from Yadu or Jadabharata or Sudeva Goswami. They all don't look normal. They are not dressed, is they? They have no bodily identity anymore. They are freed from the body. But they wander around in this world with that state of consciousness. Bala Unmatta Pishajavat. The Bhagavatam, it is mentioned like that. That is their state. So we won't, even if we see them in present state, we won't feel that need to approach them. We won't feel the need to approach them. There are many personalities like in that state, still in many, many holy places. We won't get to know them, nor we will get to associate with them, because in our mind we have some concept of a spiritual personality, and that's what we will go after. But Shastram says that Bhala Unmatta Pishajavat, such a realized souls are rare, but they will always be there in this world, because if they were not there, this Bhagavata Dharma will not stay in this world, it will remain in the books. If the people are not there, it will simply remain in the books. So here, so without releasing their pure identity, they will live in this world, these personalities. So in Ambarisha's story, Krishna says, who is a Mahatma, isn't it? If you look at Durvasa Maharshi, he had the capacity to curse or to bless anyone, isn't it? But because he had this problem with his he was a sage who used to feel sometimes a little proud of his austerities, pride from austerities. Jnanam tapascha vinaya anidivam eva manyam. Krishna says to Durvasa Maharshi, you have all the knowledge in this world. About spiritual knowledge, you have everything. Jnanam. You have you are the greatest austere person in this world. Tapas. Jnanam, tapas. Both you have to full. You have up to full. But one thing is lacking. Vinayanidaveva manyam. Vinayam, that humility of a devotee, is missing. He says to Durvasava Maharshi. Isn't it? So when Durvasava Maharshi was cursed, Durvasava Maharshi cursed Ambarish. That story is in the ninth canto. As you know, that that the Kritya was released by Durvasava Maharshi, and and that Kritya was burned by Sudarshana disc, which was released from by Krishna's arrangement. Eventually, to escape from Sudarshana disc, he arrived Vaikuntham to get this protection. It was at that time Krishna says to Durvasava Maharshi that Sadhavo Hridayam Mahim Sadhunam Hridayam Toham Madanyate na Janandi Naham Tebhyo Managabhi. It says in the Bhagavatam that Sadhavo Hridayam Mahim, with the devotees, my relationship is a little different, he says to Durvasava Maharshi. Completely honoring Durvasava, Krishna is saying this to him. Sadhavo Hridayam Mahim Sadhunam Hridayam Toham. That Sadhavo Hridayam Mahim, they are living, I am living in their heart, they are living in my heart. I am living in their heart all the time and they live in my heart. Madanyate na janandi, I don't know anything else. Naham tebhyo managabi, they also don't know anything except me. This is the relationship between these Mahatmas and Krishna. Krishna is saying that Sadhunam Hridayam Mahim, Sadhunam Hridayam Tvaham. That I live in their heart, they live in me, and I only know them and they only know me, nothing else. So close is that connection between Krishna and the Mahatmas. So therefore he suggested to Durvasava to go to him and take shelter of the Ambarish, and that is how it happened. So as I said before, first of all, it is difficult to find Mahatmas. Find Mahatmas is difficult. Even if you find them, to recognize them is more difficult. To recognize them is more difficult. But once you come to their shelter, they will make sure that you get back to the, you realize the truth. You will realize the truth. That's why, because it is like that, Krishna says in the Bhagavatam that getting closer to Mahatma, in order that to happen, first thing is that we have to have bhakti inside. Bhakti is that, such an important thing that jnanamargam, yogamargam, karmamargam, they are all fine. But what makes us qualified to meet a Mahatma and to recognize a Mahatma and to receive that mercy from Mahatma is bhakti. Is bhakti. That is what turns the life into that. So that's why it is important. Krishna talks about bhakti so much in the Bhagavadam. That why you wonder that bhakti has become such a Bhagavadam is a bhakti grantham, no doubt about it. There is jnanam in the Bhagavadam spoken. All Vedam, Upanishads, jnanam bhakti is practically not different. But when we speak about bhakti, specifically Krishna is saying there that this bhakti is the one that turns one's life. Therefore, give me bhakti. This is the devotees will pray to Krishna. Therefore, give me tulbhavo yavadeshum spuratina vishadam tavadevam hupastim kurvannaigal mebhodeyam jaditi vikasadi tvanmayoham chareyam toddharmasyasyadaval kimapina bhagavan prastutasyaha pranashaha tasmal sarvalmaneiva pradishamama vibho bhaktimargam manojnyam toddhavo yavadeshu spuratina vishadam. Ekadasa skandam, when it was summarized, the devotee writes there, tulbhavo yavadeshu spuratina vishadam tavadevam upastim. That tulbhavo yavadeshu spurati na vishadam. In the beginning, Krishna is instructing in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? Krishna says in the Ekadasa skandam that if you, in order first to remove all the yagadvesham from inside, first look at everyone as Krishna's presence in that living entity and pay your obeisances to him. Krishna says that, isn't it? Praname dandavad bhumam shachandala bhogaram. He says that. But that won't happen overnight. It's not going to happen. It may take a long time. So, till that happens, tulbhavo yavadeshu spuradi, till that happens, na vishadam tavadevam ubastim kurvan aigalpme bhode jadidi vikasadi tvanmayoham chareyam. That is where deity worshippers come in. Till we get to that stage, tulbhavo yavadeshu spuradi, till we come to that point of realizing Krishna's presence in every living entity. What Krishna says is, start that right now with everybody, seeing that Krishna is present in that living being and pay your respects to him, at least inside. If you can't give, dandavad pranam, completely fall down on the ground. Praname dandavad bhumashu chandala ghogaram. He says, no matter who it is, just see Krishna is there in that person and respect him in that way. But that is going to take time. It will take some time. Tulbhavo yavadeshu spuradi. Tulbhavo means presence of Krishna in another living entity. Yavadeshu spuradi na, till that happened. Vishadam tavadevam upasthim kurvanna. Then what is left is upasana. Upasana. This is how temples are coming to existence. Temples' existence is like that. That the temple worship becomes powerful when in the ancient times what they have done was the temple worshippers simply executed for this purpose, that the personality who is doing the deity worship, he was given a lot of respect for one reason only, that he executes that worship based on the Shastra, with all the understanding behind it. In other words, when they execute the deity worship, normally they have to invite Krishna to come and occupy on the throne. So where do they invite Krishna from? They have to invite from inside. That's where he is, isn't it? So they will invite from him and ask him to sit on the, in the deity. Ask him to sit inside the deity form. While he is there, he will perform the worship. And after the worship is over, you have to bring him back again to the same inside where he came from. You see? So from here, he comes out, he receives the worship, and then he comes back. The whole Tandriya Vidhi is based on this principle. You know that there are three processes. One is Vaidikam, Tantrikam, Mishram. Three processes. Vaidikam is the Vedic way. Tantrikam is the Tantra way. And Mishram is a mixture of both. So Tantriya Vidhi, which is more technical in that sense, it is done in this way. Krishna is invited from heart, inside, the pujaris who is doing the deity worship. That means, in order to do that, he has to always remain in a very high state of purity. Very high state of purity. This is how it used to be, temple worship at one time. That great, great temples have developed like this because of the deity worship and the pujari. Pujaris were important, not the deity. Pujaris who did the deity worship, they have done such marvelous jobs that deity had to listen to them. They had no choice. It was so close was the relationship. That is what says here. That when they worship the deity, they used to bring Krishna from inside. Because he, this is where you can get him from. He is there inside. So they have what is known as avahanam. They bring him into the deity. Then after the worship, they bring him back again, called udvasanam. Avahanam, udvasanam, two things. So they do that. When they do like that, if a pujari has done this for 12 years, then whatever that pujari says is as good as the word of Krishna, Krishna's words. This is how it was accepted at one time. Because that was the purity of those personalities who did. And there were many, many great authorities on deity worship who have done such marvelous and wonderful things with deity worship in many, many ancient temples. But so this happens. That's why it says here, till we get to that stage of seeing Krishna's presence and everything, spuridina vishadam tavadevam upastim, that is the process of deity worship, kriya margam, which Krishna discusses in the Ekadasha Skandam in one chapter. And what will happen there? Kurvan aigalpe bodhe jadidhi vikasadi tunayoham chareyam. That's interesting. Kurvan aigalpe bodhe jadidhi vikasadi tunayoham chareyam. If you worship Krishna in this way, when Krishna comes back to your heart again, and if this process comes on for a long time, at some point you realize that there is practically no difference between you and Krishna. Between you and Krishna. Not that you think like that. Krishna starts thinking, that person and me, there's practically no difference. Before he enters into our body back, after this deity worship he comes back, he will feel the identity with the person. And once Krishna starts thinking like that, kurvannai galpme bhode jadidi vikasadi tunmayoham chareyam, that as soon as he realizes that, what will happen? He has become conscious of Krishna's presence in everything. Immediately, he realizes Krishna is present in every living entity. Then, toddharmasyasyadaval kimabina bhagavan prastudasya pranashaha. So, this is Bhagavata Dharmam. Bhagavata Dharmam is like that. That till we realize that, worship Krishna through this deity worship process. And it is because of the worship of the deity by the great devotees like that, many temples have become prominent. Many temples have become prominent. It is not that what we... that's why normally it's said that the deity worship in the temple must be a very higher standard. Very higher standard. Because it is not possible to do the similar worship at home. It is not possible to do in the same way like it is done in the temple. So pujaris were trained in those days for many, many years in the proper process of deity worship before they take up. And first they will under assistant with somebody who has well practices before, and then they learn and they maintain that standard throughout their life, not allowing to mix with the world outside to the lower modes of nature and association with other people. And this is important to maintain that standard of worship. So tudbhavo yavadeshu spuradi na, till it happens, till we see Krishna's presence in everywhere, vishadam tavadevam upastim kurvan aigalpya bhode jadidi vigasadi tunmayoham chareyam. That as soon as you continue doing like this, when one day Krishna starts seeing that this devotee is not different from me, when Krishna recognizes that Tanmayoham Chareyam, you will start moving in this world, seeing Krishna's presence in every living entity. I will live my life in that. Then, Tad Dharmasya Sedaval Kimabi Na Bhagavan. Tad Dharmasya Sedaval Kimabi Na Bhagavan Prastudasya Pranashaha. This Bhagavata Dharma process, which is this Karma Yogam or this Kriya Yogam or deity worship. Tad Dharmasya Sedaval Kimabi Na Bhagavan Prastudasya Pranashaha. That it is Krishna's desire that this process should stay, and such a person who is executing that Bhagavata Dharma will never go away from this world. It will stay in this world. That is Krishna's desire, Krishna's decision. That tad dharmasya asya daval kimabhi na bhagavan prastudasya pranashaha. There is no, it will never die. It will never die. This process of deity worship will never die. Prastudasya pranashaha. So, what does that mean? It does not mean that only the process will stay, but also the people who are executing deity worship also will not perish. They will also stay in this world. Tad dharmasya asyadaval kimabhi na bhagavan prastudasya pranashaha tasmal sarval meneiva pradishamama vibho Bhakti Margam Manojyam. Therefore, Krishna says here, Tasmal Sarvaatmaneiva. Therefore, by all conditions, Bhakti Margam Mama Sarvaatmana Eva Pratisha. So, therefore, that beautiful Bhakti process, please give that to me. This is one devotee's prayer to Krishna. Tasmal Sarvaatmaneiva Pratisha Mama Vibho Bhakti Margam Manojyam. Bhakti Margam is very, very beautiful process, he says to Krishna. Because it is like that, why? Tad dharmasya asyadaval kimabhi na bhagavan prastudasya pranashaha. Bhakti is such that Krishna has made this arrangement, Bhagavata Dharmam in this world, isn't it? Through Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has arranged that Bhagavata Dharmam should stay in this world. So, tasmal tad dharmasya asyadaval kimabhi na bhagavan prastudasya pranashaha. That Bhagavata Dharma will never disappear from this world. It will always stay here. Prastudasya pranashaha tasmal sarvalt maneiva. Therefore, by all reasons, pradisha mama vibho bhakti margam manojyam. Therefore, out of all the processes, bhakti margam is most beautiful process. And it is through this Bhakti Margam, Chitta Shuddhi will happen. That is the important thing. It is only through Bhakti Margam, Chitta Shuddhi will happen. When Chitta Shuddhi, or purification of one's own consciousness. When that consciousness gets purified, at the right time, Krishna will send the person to instruct on knowledge at the right time. Just like it happened to Parikshit. Parikshit heard Srimad Bhagavatam, he got purified. And at the right time, Sudeva Goswami, that's why only at the very last minute, Parikshit Sudeva Goswami handed over him the Upadesham. Brahmaupadesham it's called. Brahmaupadesham means that final, you can say, the release note from this body, once for all, never to come back again to another bodily life. So, every time when you look at the history, you can see that there is a set pattern how things happen in this world. When a devotee becomes serious, develop bhakti inside, and genuinely creates that purity inside, Chitta Shuddhi happens inside. At the right time, his interest in spiritual life begins. His interest in spiritual life becomes very serious. So there are a lot of unknown forces working in this world which we are not conscious of. We don't take any of those into account. We simply think, I'll go and do this, 16 rounds, 4 fertility principles, 30 years, I'll be realized. This is how our mind, because of the rajogunam inside, that's how we think about it. But that's not how spiritual life works. Actually, you can see spiritual life and suicide start from the same point. Have you looked at that any time? A person who is going to commit suicide and the person who comes into spiritual life, they start from the same point. You may think, why? The person who wants to commit suicide, why does he commit suicide? Because he finds his body, mind, senses everything a burden. He wants to get rid of it. Because of the body, he is suffering in this world. Because of the mind, he is suffering in this world. There are so many people in this world, you can see. If you look at those people, due to so much distress in life, they suffer. When they suffer in this world, they think a quick solution, and their ego or whatever, because they haven't got the right instruction at the right time, they fall into the misunderstanding that if I get rid of this body, get rid of my mind, I can free myself from this misery. This is how they start there, they move into the suicide mode, or they take into it. Another one person, also out of distress only, he comes. But he realizes that if he had the good opportunity in Satsangam to hear that getting rid of the body is not the solution to the problem. Like the way the suicide, in the suicide it happens. Actually, what we are also trying to do in spiritual life is to get rid of this body. What they are trying to do is also to get rid of the body. Isn't it? When they are trying to commit the suicide, in their mind also, that's what's happening. They are trying to get rid of the body and get rid of this mind, which has become so unbearable. So we are also trying to do the same thing, because we see that this body is the problem, this mind is the problem, these senses are the problems. So therefore, both of them start from the same point. One goes in one direction, another goes in another direction, that's all. But their starting point is the same. That distress brings to us to think that what is this material body? Material body gives us so much trouble. In some point or the other, it will develop into that state. And that's when this thoughts comes. So therefore, that the solution is that when we hear that, and in everyday experience also, Krishna is pointing out to us that this body is the problem. This mind is the problem. In the vacant state, the body is there, the mind is there, I am there. In the dream state, body is gone, mind is there, I am there. In the deep sleep, body is gone, mind is gone, I am there in my pure identity as soul, the false ego has gone. False ego is gone. So you can see that when you leave all this behind, you come to your happy state. Not by having all these things, the body, mind, intelligence and ego. It's not due to the presence of that we are not happy. That's what Shastram is telling us. That it's not due to the presence of the body, mind, intelligence and ego that we are happy. By when they leave us, we are happy. I'll give you an example. When in Vedantam, particularly among the jnanis also, when they teach Vedantam, they will talk about this they were teaching a student. Student was learning this Vedanta philosophy. While learning the philosophy, the teacher, the spiritual master told him, the guru told him, keep your mind out of it and listen to Upanishad statements. Keep your mind away from that. But he is so absorbed in logic in everything. He cannot accept anything without, if it is not logical. This logic, what we call in this world, actually has no meaning. Practically, it has no meaning. If you come to spiritual life, you will understand that, what this logic means. Logic is like a scratch in the brain. It causes all the time problems. And it will reject everything, even if it is the right thing. It will reject, because it's not logical, they'll say. Doesn't make any sense. I'll talk that later. But today, what we'll discuss is, that this person is sitting in the class, and he says, whatever you have taught me, I can't understand, he says. I can't understand. He is teaching him Brihadaranya Upanishad to him, and the student is saying, I'm not able to understand that. He kept repeating this. So the guru says to him that you don't worry about it. Even if you're not understood, you hear it. You hear Upanishad. And sometime it will come to you. You will get it, he said. The student is saying to the disciple, says to the guru, if I don't understand it, it is difficult for me. I need to understand. My mind is not able to find peace. So he says to him, the guru says to him, you are saying to me that you can't understand it. This I can't understand, that's also another chittavritti only. It's nothing different than that. So just try to keep that away and try to listen, he said. And the disciple was finding it difficult. Mind immediately jumps in and wants to control everything. That's the nature of the mind. So what he did was, he kept on talking to him, Upanishad at a very higher level, he was talking to him. So kept on like that, about midnight came, till midnight, he kept talking whole day and half the 6 hours in the night, he has spoken Brihadaranyaka Upanishad to him. After hearing all the Upanishads, he was getting tired. He couldn't do anything. He was feeling so exhausted. So at that time, Guru told him, you go and sleep now, he said. So he went and slept. And very soon he fell into deep sleep. When he fell into deep sleep, Guru went and woke him up. And told him, get up now, I'll talk to you about brother. You will get it now, he said. So he says, the disciple says, no, I will learn it in the morning when I wake up. He says, I'll learn it in the morning. This is the exact reply Guru wanted to hear from him. Why? This person needs practical experience. Only then he can accept it. So he let him sleep. When he woke up in the morning, he told him that, look, I woke you up to teach you Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. He didn't wake up. The disciple says, I was having such a good sleep. He says, why? It is only in that deep sleep, he had no body, he had no mind, he had no questions. He was happy in that state. So Upanishad is also telling us the same thing, that in that state, even knowledge is not there to keep it in a, it is a realized experience, isn't it? You experience it at that deep sleep state. What is happiness? What is shanti? What is the blissful nature of the soul? All that you are experiencing it. Then you don't need any more knowledge after that. So just to tell us the fact that the experience of the soul in the deep sleep is another experience every single day Krishna gives to almost all the living entities in all states, isn't it? All the living entities, to prove it to us that it is not by upadhi, by the body, mind and intelligence, we become happy in this world. So, So, in order that this jnanam to develop inside, bhakti is the first thing. That's why Krishna is stressing on bhakti so strongly in the Bhagavatam. You remember in the Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna talks about bhakti so strongly that when one has bhakti, then he is ready for jnanam. When bhakti develops in a heart, he is ready for the jnanam, for the knowledge to receive. So that is what happened with Uddhava. Uddhava also was prepared and was ready for receiving the instructions when Krishna gave those instructions to him. So in Narada Maharshi's case, same thing. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from the sages, he developed that purity inside. And finally, the sages blessed him and sent him away. And then Mahalkrupa has come to him. And everything was clear to him. And then he had the opportunity to see Krishna in the forest when he saw later. Dhruva Maharaj was instructed by Sri Narada Maharshi. Prahlada was instructed by Narada Maharshi. Chitragedu was instructed by Angiras. Yadu was instructed by the Dattatreya Maharshi. And you will see in Srimad Bhagavatam so many incidents like this. Just to prove it to us that when they are ready, the person will come to instruct. When they are ready, the person will come to instruct. So, so in the Toddharmasya Siddhaval Kimabina Bhagavan Prastudasya Pranashaha, that Bhagavad Dharmam will stay in this world. Because it is Krishna's desire, it should stay. And not only that, Toddharmasyasya Daval Kimabina Bhagavan Prastudasya Pranashaha. That because Bhagavata Dharmam has to stay here, there should be people who are following Bhagavata Dharmam, they will also stay in this world. It has to be there. Tasmal Sarval Paneiva Pradishamama Vibho Bhakti Margam Manojyam. Therefore, from all angles, if you look at it, Bhakti Margam Manojnyam. Bhakti Margam is beautiful, he says. Bhakti Margam Manojnyam. The easiest process to purify oneself. After that, whatever has to happen, the arrangement is there in the nature. Nature will do everything what is necessary for taking us further in our spiritual life. We don't have to be so much overly concerned about that. That's the point Krishna's making there. So, Labhadevi Tal Krabayaiva. So, in order to stress this point, Labhadevi Tal Krabayaiva. Only by Krishna's mercy you will get that association with the Mahatma. Only by Krishna's mercy that will happen. That association with Mahatma. So first thing from our side is purification inside, Chitta Shuddhi. That has to happen, for which bhakti is necessary. So through bhakti, when we are purified enough, the Krishna feels that this person is qualified to receive that mercy from a realized Mahatma, then he will have to come. Labhade tal krabayaiva. So, Mahal Sangam, their association is the main cause of bhakti. So, in the Narayaniyam you will find, when Melpathur was discussing this with Krishna, he said to Krishna that this verse is from Narayaniyam, which I mentioned now, that Toddharmasyasyadavalkivavinabhagavan prastudasya pranashaha tasmal sarval maneiva pradishamama vibho bhakti margam manojnyam. Bhakti margam is beautiful. Please give me bhakti. This was his prayer. So when he said that, Krishna looked at Melpathur and told him that you have not reached that state yet. You haven't come to that state yet. So because you have not come to that state, you have requested me to give me this opportunity to engage in the worship of the deity. But at that time, he said to Krishna, Mahipatur said to Krishna, Tam jainam bhakti yogam dridaidumai me ayur aryogyam. So, if one, we have a lot of things to consider here. We simply think spiritual life is a very a simple process. We have so much misunderstanding about all these things. We'll see when we read great devotees, how they approached Krishna and how they related with Krishna, then only you will understand that what are the problems we have got in spiritual life. Tam jainam bhakti yogam dradeidumai me ayur aryogyam. First of all, you have told us to practice Bhagavata Dharma. Krishna says to us to practice Bhagavata Dharma. So, in order to practice Bhagavata Dharma, I have to start reading Srimad Bhagavatam. From tomorrow onwards, I want to read Srimad Bhagavatam every single day. But tonight, I am dead, gone. What will happen? What can you do? Life is such an affair, nobody has any guarantee for this body, isn't it? You can make plans, anything. That I will do so many things in my spiritual life, I will do so many projects, or I mean so many programs you can make. But tonight you are finished, dead and gone. So where is the plan? Or what happened to all the plan then? Tam jainam bhakti yogam dradeidumai me. Devotees can see these things in advance. Proper devotees. They will think these aspects more important than anything else. Because they know very well, if Krishna's mercy is not there, you can't even execute spiritual life. This is the reality. You can say anything, I'll do this, I'll do that, I have so many millions of plans in your life. But all subject to approval from there. All subject to Krishna's approval. Otherwise it's not going to happen. That's what I say. For first thing, Ayusa. Ayusa means lifespan. There should be life. When we come to know that we want to chant Hare Krishna or read Srimad Bhagavatam or do anything in spiritual life, Tam jainam bhakti yogam dradeidumai me ayuhu. First of all, there should be life left in this body, isn't it? Where is the guarantee? And we also know how this body is, isn't it? We also know how this body is. Today, you can say that I will read this book, I'll read that book. You take the book and you start reading, 5 minutes you're gone, sleep mode. Isn't it? It happens like that. Many people in the or some or the other no interest in reading. Book is there, but you can't read. Like all the books we have distributed, how many people are reading it? It's everywhere, isn't it? Books are there. We say books are the basis and all that, but sometimes you wonder, isn't it? How many people read and how many people understand and how many people follow it? Look at that. If you filter it through, you will see how many people are there reading these books and how many are taking it from there. Therefore it says there, Tam jainam bhakti yogam dradaidum aime sadhyam aarogyam ayuho. So first of all, lifespan should be there. If I want to do something, Krishna has to give me some time in this world. If Krishna has not given you any time, suppose you made the plan today and tonight you are gone, then where is the plan? It's finished there. Number one. Number two, even if you got lifespan, you need the health. Isn't it? Suppose the body is giving you all kinds of problems. Blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, everything in the body. So many different things in this body. You think it is easy to sit and read Bhagavatam or any other book and get spiritually inspired from that? It is not possible. We know that. Practically it's not possible. Physically when you are disturbed, it is very difficult that to understand spiritual life even. Or to talk about any austerity or penance or even chanting the holy name is difficult at that stage. Isn't it? When the body gives you trouble. That's why. First he said, Tam jainam bhakti yogam. Before you give me bhakti, you tell me that Krishna's question was, answer that. He told Melpathur that you wanted bhakti, isn't it? So I can give you bhakti, but Tam jainam bhakti. Melpathur said, in order to develop that bhakti, I need lifespan, life, some time in this world for my to survive in this world. Tam jainam bhakti yogam dradidumayime sadhyam aarogyam. First health. Ayuhu. Then some time in this world. Dishtya tatra visevyam tavacharanamaho beshaja eva dugdham. Dishtya tatra visevyam tavacharanamaho. In order to serve your lotus feet, I need time. And I need health. The devotee is saying to Krishna. So Krishna says to him, then you serve me. The devotee is saying to him, in order to serve you, I need health and I need a lifetime. Lifetime in this world. Krishna says, in order to get that, you serve me. Do you see what I'm saying? One side, devotee is saying, Melpathur is saying to Krishna, that to serve you, I need some time in this world. My health is no good. I'm suffering. And I need some help. I need some time. But Krishna says to him that that's fine. But to get that, you serve me, he says. Why it's said like that is, Dishtva tatra visevyam tava charanamaho beshaja eva dugdham. Beshaja eva dugdham. It is from that this thing has come out. What it is that sometimes children get some sickness in their stomach or something. And in Ayurveda, they have some very bitter medicines for the children to take for stomach when they had problems, when they are young, proper digestive problems or whatever it is. So one child who was used to taking this bitter medicine all the time, he got so tired with it, taking this medicine. So every day, the Ayurvedic physician was coming home and he will ask the mother of the child how the child is with the health. And the mother will say to the doctor, to the physician, that he is taking this medicine every day, but it is very difficult for him to take that medicine. But doctor, physician said there is no choice, he has to take that. Because Ayurvedic medicines are very, very bitter. Listen, many people, even adults will find it difficult to take it. What to talk about children. So children, what they do, they'll hold their hands and legs and pour the medicine into their mouth. Because it's so bitter to take it. But because they are so sick, there is no other way. They have to give the medicine to them. This carried on for a few months. And So this child, when this physician comes to the house, he will go and stand near the physician, make friendship with him, and trying to get this medicine changed to something else. So he carried on for a while. Children are like that, isn't it? He was trying his way how to get out of the problem. So after a few months, things got did get better. So one day when the physician came, the child says to the physician, to this Ayurvedic physician, that so many months now I have taken this medicine and I am feeling a tremendous desire inside to have some milk to drink, he said. So the physician told him, we'll see that later, you go and play now, and let him go out, sent him to play. And then the mother came, so he told the mother, the physician told the mother, I think he is better now, we can start giving him some heavier food, and suggested to the mother that you give him some milk tonight, 1 or 2 ounces, and little bit sugar in that, and make it little tasty for him, and give it to him, he said to her. The child played whole day and came back. In the night, thought he has to take this medicine. No, he doesn't know that it's been changed or anything. So, he says, the child came back to take the medicine, and the mother said, and the child as usual was getting ready to take the child. So for him it was a real crucifixion going through, crucifying him, that kind of experience he had. So he held ready, closed his eyes, opened his mouth, and the mother poured this 2 ounces of milk into his mouth. And when he had that milk, the child felt completely different that day. He felt. So immediately the child asked, what did the doctor say? How many times do I have to take it every day? That was his question to the doctor. How many times should I take it every day? And he said, what a good physician he is, he said. So there what happened was, the child wanted to drink milk, and the physician also prescribed milk for him. Similarly, Krishna has told Melpathur, you want to develop bhakti, so you serve me. And serving itself was like milk for him. That you start serving me, you will feel that happiness coming from inside. That's why he's saying, Tam chainam bhakti yogam dradeidumayime sadhyam aryogyam ayuho dishtva tatra visevyam tava jaranamaho beshaja eva dugdham. The milk itself has become the medicine. Similarly, practicing Krishna consciousness is like milk. When you practice it, that itself brings the bhakti later. And that is something which is very pleasant also to execute, bhakti process. This is the principle behind it. Executing Krishna consciousness itself, unlike jnanam, yogam, karma margam, Krishna consciousness process is very blissful process, isn't it? So that blissful Krishna consciousness requires what? Shravanam, hearing, kirtanam, smaranam, vandanam, archanam, padasevanam, sakhyam. All these are 9 processes of bhakti. All of them are pleasant to execute. It's not so difficult like the jnana margam, yoga margam or karma margam. So that develops into bhakti later. So to get bhakti, you have to execute all these processes. So just like the child, he was asked to take the milk which he wanted to drink himself. So when you get the medicine of the same thing what you want to drink, then it's very nice. Similarly, bhakti yogam is like that. You are given something which is very happy to take it. Bhakti process is like that. And for that, the finest example in the Srimad Bhagavatam is Markandeya Rishi story. Markandeya story in the 12th canto. You know Markandeya's story in the 12th canto. It says there, Markandeya hi purvam ganatati nikatidam dvadashabda iruchai sevitva valsaram tvam thopata nivaher dravayama samrutyam. Markandeya's story is well known, very well known story. Markandeya Maharshi is in the 12th canto. Markandeya was a Maharshi, sage later. When he was dvadashabda iruchai sevitva, what happened to Markandeya? Markandeya, at a very young age, he had only a very short span of life. in order to prove us this, that we think that we have a lot of life left in this world. There is no guarantee for anything. Even to execute bhakti, you need time here, isn't it? You need time. You need a healthy body as well to do it. So that's why I say, therefore the finest example is chosen there. Markandehi purvam ganaganigatidam dvadashabdhairuchaihi. That when he was young, Markandeya was 5 or 6 years old, one astrologer came home. Astrologer looked at his chart and said that he will only live up to 12 years. He has to leave his body at the age of 12. So the boy was not aware of that. Markandeya was not aware of that. Parents were aware of that. Parents were aware of that. So what happened? That day they came and Markandeyehi purvam ganaganigadidam dvadashabdhairuchai. So on the 12th birthday, mother was serving the feast to the child. Markandeya's mother was serving the feast, birthday feast to the child. While serving the feast, from mother's eyes, 2 drops of tears fell into the leaf. Because she was thinking, this will be the last birthday. I will serve this food to her son, to Markandeya Maharshi. When these tears dropped into the leaf, suddenly Markandeya looked at her face and she was weeping. Mother was weeping. So it was supposed to be a happy state for Markandeya, isn't it? The birthday. And he looked at mother's face and mother was crying. So he asked a question. What has happened? So mother has to tell him that the astrologers have, those days they had the faith and there were good astrologers who could do those things, say those things. So long ago this happened. Markandeyehi purvam ganaganigatidam. He said, dvadashabdhairuchaihi. Only 12 years life is given to you in this world. I won't have another birthday to give this prasadam for you. And saying this, mother wept. And as soon as the feast was finished, Markandeya left home. And then he went to Krishna, the deity where Navamukunda has, the 9 yogis have installed Mukunda, Krishna there. Went and took their shelter there. Sevitva valsaram tvam, tau bhada nivahe dravayamasa mrutyam. And Krishna at that time told Markandeya, that this 12-year-old boy, that you go from here, take shelter of Shiva in another temple and go send him there. And then he escaped from death. And when the death personified came, Krishna killed him. Shiva killed him and protected him. Krishna sent him to Shiva for protection. So what says like that, why this situation is quoted? Markandeya's experience is like that, that he had only 12 years lifespan and immediately he took advantage of that and took to spiritual life seriously. Similarly, our lifespan, we don't know what we have got and we may live up to 85, 90 years. What is the use? It says in the Bhagavatam, isn't it, that the bellows are also breathing, it says. In the Bhagavatam, second canto, if you look, you will see that. Bellows are also breathing, we are also breathing. Where is the difference? Sudeva Goswami is asking a question there. So, similarly, so, tam jainam bhakti yogam dradaidumai me sadhyam aryogyam ayuho. First of all, we should have the ayu. Ayu means life to in this world, to do something. Then what? Next thing is aryogyam, health. You require health also. If there is no health, if you are always sick, with something or the other, what spiritual life can you practice? What can you practice then? Nothing will happen. We'll just be fighting with the body, how to survive through in this world, isn't it? And some point you'll also feel it's better to leave this body, if I can escape from this body, but prarabdha won't let you go. It'll hold you back into this body again. All these things will happen. It's not that we are all given any clearance certificate from any of these things. It can happen to anyone at any time. So that is why, to stress this point, what Krishna says that mrideha madhyam sulabham surlabham. When there is a body, when there is health, take to spiritual life, take to Krishna consciousness. Mrideha madhyam sulabham surlabham. Very rare things Krishna says, I have given this human body to someone. Plavam sugalpam guru karna dharam. that it is like a boat to transit, to cross over this ocean of material life, material existence. Guru Karnadharam, and there's a captain, Krishna himself is giving the instructions to us. Maya anukulenanda prasvade eridam. In the form of Shastram, my instructions are there to give him the enough understanding about the soul. Puman natared sa almaha. One who does not take advantage of that, Krishna says, he is committing suicide. He is committing suicide. This is Krishna's statement in the Bhagavatam. So, so lebhe devi tal kravayaiva, that he will receive that person's kripa by Krishna's arrangement. Lebhe devi tal kravayaiva. So, by Krishna's mercy, that is comes to him. So, because Narada himself was a personified form of that mercy. Personified. Because wherever you will find in the Bhagavatam, if someone is crying for Krishna, Narada Maharshi arrives there on the scene. Arrives on the scene. When Suriji heard Dhruva, immediately went to Suniti, and Suniti told Dhruva, Aradhaya adhokshaja pada batmam iti ichase adhyasanam uttamo yatham. So, if you want to come to the same state like Uttama, that was his stepbrother, and if you want to be in the same state, then serve Krishna. This is what Suniti said to Dhruva, isn't it? If you want to be like Uttama and Suriji's son, who was preferred by King's father, Uttanapada, if you want to be in the same state, then what you should do? Take the shelter of Krishna, said Suniti to her. Naradastadupakarnam yatva tasya chikirshidam sprishtva murdhanya ghagnena panina prahavismidaha. Then, so Narada Maharshi, when he met Dhruva Maharaj, initially he wanted to test his resolve, how serious he is about spiritual life. Isn't it? You know that in the Bhagavatam. Dhruva Maharaj was not willing to listen to Narada Maharshi. He says to Narada Maharshi, that I'm going to the forest, I'm going to look for him, Krishna. And Sri Narada Maharshi says to him, at this stage in life, 5-year-old boy, why should you worry about all these things? You should be playing with somebody. And these things do happen. He was trying to pacify the child, that sometimes there will be misunderstanding among the Kshatriya kings. They have so many wives and there will be always disagreement with the wives, but you children shouldn't worry about it. In the similar way, so many things to console him. Sri Narada Maharshi spoke to Dhruva. But Dhruva wouldn't listen to anything. He says to Narada Maharshi, if you have come to instruct me in spiritual life, you can talk to me. Otherwise, please move away from my way. He says, this is how he spoke to Narada Maharshi. Don't block me on my way, he says. Give me the way, let me go through. I've decided I'm going. Seeing that resolve, Narada Maharshi decided to instruct Dhruva. That you will see in the Bhagavatam. So, at that time, he gave the instruction, you go to Madhuvanam, which is next to Vrindavanam, and on the banks of the river Yamuna, there you sit there, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya was the mantra that was given to him, and he continued his spiritual activities there. So, only to say to us, when we are ready, when we are prepared, and when we are qualified, it is Krishna's responsibility to send the person to you at the time for giving the proper instructions. That arrangement is there in the nature. It is always there. It's always there. Only thing, when it does not happen, we have to understand that we are not ready yet. We have attachment somewhere. Some form. Attachment is there. We are unable to break it. And therefore, we have to wait till that attachment leaves us. We may say, oh, I'm not attached and all that. But it is in a subtle level, attachment is there. In the third canto of Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see there, when Krishna wants to bless someone, he will look where he has got the attachment, he will smash in there. There itself. If he is attached to children, he will make sure that the children go in the wrong way. If your attachment is there to the children. If your attachment is between, say, husband and wife, or wife or husband, anything happens, there will be a problem between them. It will happen if the attachment develops. Excessive attachment. Bhagavatam is not saying that you shouldn't have attachment. What Bhagavatam is saying is that is not our main business in this world. This is an important point. That is vyavaharam. That is not spiritual life. Our main business in this world is self-realization. And if we leave that behind, and if we give importance to all the other things, then Krishna gets upset. Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti, Krishna gets upset. And when he gets upset, he will smash you at the very place where you have attachment, he will smash you there. He'll smash you there. That's exactly the word used in the Bhagavatam. They'll hit you there at the very point. If somebody is attached to a lot of wealth in this world, Krishna will take away all the wealth from him when the mercy comes. That's when it happens. When Krishna's mercy comes, what he'll do, he will take that attachment away by taking away the wealth from that person. Wealth from that person. If a person is very attached to his fame in this world, Krishna will make sure that he'll get the worst name in this world and he will run away from this world. That is Krishna's mercy. It is in the Bhagavatam in the third canto, while Kapila Vasudev says to Devahuti Devi. So we don't know how Krishna's mercy, when Krishna's mercy is not coming to us, that's when you can take it, everything is going fantastic in this world. That's when everything is marvelous and we say, oh, we are great devotees, everything is happening nicely. So much avidya inside. None of the great devotees, if you look, they all had to go through this. All had to go through this distress. And Krishna has completely made them in all aspects helpless and forced them to surrender. And when that surrender happens, then they realize that only Krishna's mercy exists in this world, nothing else. Because false ego completely leaves them at that point. So, it is Krishna's responsibility. Therefore, Narada Maharshi says in the next Sutram 41, Tasmim stajani bheda abhavad. So, bheda abhavad. So, tasmin stajani bheda abhavad. That means, because it is like that, we should not see any difference between Krishna and the pure devotees. Because it is through that pure devotees, Krishna's mercy come to us. So main thing Krishna says, Narada Maharshi says here, the first thing is to get bhakti, you know, main thing is the mercy from the pure devotees. And that is a rare thing. So actually what we receive through jnanis or through great realized souls or devotees is the same thing, because they are non-different from Krishna. One who knows the tattva, he is Brahmavid. See, all the other subjects, suppose if I study physics or chemistry, I don't become physics or I don't become chemistry, do I? I remain as I am. When you study, but if you become realized Brahman, what happens? You become Brahman. Unlike the other knowledge in this world, where material knowledge and spiritual knowledge differs. In material life, if you realize, if you study a particular subject through mind intelligence, you understand any subject, science subject or any other subject, politics, history, whatever it is. You study, you don't become that. But Brahman, Brahmajnanam, knowledge of Brahman is such that once you got it, you become that. Brahmajnani, you become Brahmajnani. That is why in the Upanishad Vakyam is like that. Brahmavid Bhavadi. You become Brahman. Brahmavid Bhavadi. So, and he is Brahman itself. And Upanishad Vakyam is also same. And in the, Krishna also says in the Bhagavatam in the 11th chapter, if you look in the 11th canto, you will see this verse. Nyatvadhyeva imam yavanyascha asmi yadrishaha bhajandyananya bhavena teme bhaktatama madaham. So, one, he says, Nyatva ajnatvathayevai mam yavan yaschasmi yadrashaha. Bhagavatam says like that. Nyatva ajnatvathayevai mam. Knowingly or unknowingly, yovai mam yavan yaschasmi yadrasha. Then he starts at worshipping me. Knowingly or unknowingly, not knowing who I am, not knowing who he is, he start worshipping me. But bhajande ananya bhavena teme bhakta tamo madam. One who ananya bhavena, that knowing very well that I am present inside him, and he has accepted that, his acceptance of my presence in him, and he started worshipping me in that way. Bhajande ananya bhavena teme bhakta tamo madam. He is the best among the devotees, he says here. In other words, Krishna says, the best among the devotees and me, there's practically no difference. He will say this in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says like this, Bhakto Devarshinam Naradoham. Among the Devarshis, among the Devarshis, I am Narada Maharshi, he says. So if Narada Maharshi says something, it is as good as what Krishna is saying. There is no practically any difference. If you read that story in this pastime of Krishna, in the 10th canto, Nalakubera and Manigriva, you remember? The two trees. They were Arjuna trees. They were called Arjuna trees. And sons of Kubera, the very richest person, the treasure of the demigods, their sons they were. Somehow or the other, due to, they had false pride in them. All kinds of pride. First of all, very wealthy. Secondly, very highly educated. Third, youthful life. From all sides, they were very opulent and they lived, and all this pride was inside. So, what happened to them? When Sri Parvati was in Kailasam, they offended her, and in that process, they were drunk one time, and they were bathing in the river with other women in the of the consorts of Sri Parvati. They were bathing with them in the Alagananda River in the Kailasam, the spiritual abode of Shiva. So by chance, Sri Narada Maharshi came there. All the women took clothes and wore themselves and moved away from there, fearing that they may be cursed by Narada Maharshi. But Nalakubera and Manigriva, because they were intoxicated, they didn't do that. They still looked at Narada Maharshi and smiled at Narada Maharshi. Seeing that Narada Maharshi, realizing that these people require some correction, how to behave properly, he cursed them. And they had to come as Nalakubera and Manigriva. In the Krishna's pastime, they came like the two Arjuna trees who stood in the you will see there. And when that pastime happened with the Damodara pastime, and that mortar, Krishna pulled between the two trees, and the two trees fell. Two trees fell. When the trees fell from the two trees, Nalakubera and Manigriva came out. They were standing there for 100 years there, waiting for, because Narada Maharshi gave them this benediction that Krishna will come and one day Krishna will release you from this bondage. So in other words, Narada Maharshi's words is as good as Krishna's words. So what happened was that when Krishna had this mortar tied to his back and he wanted to release these two personalities, Nalakubera and Manigriva, after they were released, they were standing there and they started glorifying Krishna. They started glorifying Krishna. Krishna was least interested in hearing what they were saying. And at some point during that glorification, they mentioned Narada Maharshi's name. Only when Narada Maharshi's name was mentioned, Krishna immediately started giving attention to it. Otherwise, he doesn't want to hear anything from them. That is how Krishna is. That a great devotee, Narada Maharshi, has sent them here, isn't it? That made Krishna to react to that. So that is how it is in spiritual life. That he says here, Tasmim Sajena Bheda Bhavat. There is practically no difference. If Narada Maharshi says something, it is as good as what Krishna is saying. And because Krishna will definitely honor the words of great souls, great devotees. Devarshinam Naradoham. And Ma Vidyuddhava Daityanam Prahladam Asureshwaram. In the Bhagavatam it says, Uddhava, among the demons, daityas, I am Prahlada, he says. Krishna is saying, I am Prahlada, he says. In other words, if Prahlada says something, you can take it, it will happen. It has to happen, because it's as good as Krishna is speaking. Where is the proof? Proof is there in the Bhagavatam. If you look at Mahabali, Mahabali, after he performed hundreds of Ashwamedha sacrifices, Shukracharya was guiding him through that. After all the sacrifices were completed, Mahabali wanted to go and take control of the heavenly planets from Indra. So when Mahabali was leaving, Shukracharya took a garland and put it on Prahlada's neck. And Amlana Pushpam Jalajam Jashukraha, Bhagavatam says like that. That only when the flowers in this garland dries up, only that day your face will become dry. You will feel it. But till then, you will always be joyful, he says. Amlana pushpam jalajam jashukraha. Shukra Maharshi, Shukracharya gave this garland to Prahlada. And Sukadeva Goswami says one important thing in the Bhagavatam there. He knew very well Prahlada's grandson is Mahabali. In other words, Mahabali's grandfather is Prahlada. Before he left, he went and paid obeisances to Prahlada. So when he saw Prahlada and when he paid his obeisances to Prahlada, Prahlada put his hands on Mahabali and blessed him. And that blessing means it is Narasimhamurti's blessing. There is no difference between Prahlada's blessing and Narasimhamurti's blessing. It is as good as if Narasimha says something, it has to happen. It cannot go wasted. Isn't it? So there it mentions like that, that Prahlada Mamandra Chachachakara, that Prahlada Mamandra Namaschakara, that Mahabali is intelligent, that he did not think, now that I am going, I'll fight it and win. No, he was so good, Mahabali's intelligence, they are glorifying there, that he was so good, that although he is a demon, Mahabali is a demon, isn't it? But unlike Hiranyakashipu, he was a very intelligent person. When he lost the war, he said, in a war only one side can win, he says, both sides cannot win. So he says, now we have lost it, but I'll come back one day. And then that's how he comes back and talks to Shukracharya and they perform Ashwamedha sacrifice, hundreds of them. And then after the hundredth Ashwamedha sacrifice, he says to him that now you can go. And there will not be any, even war will not be required. Demigods and Indra, Devendra and all, they will leave the planet and run away when they see you from there. And that's exactly what happened. So prior to going there, he goes and pays obeisances to Prahlada. Grandfather. And Prahlada blesses him that Prahlada Mamandra Namaschakara, that when he paid his obeisances, Vijayi Bhava, he blessed, put his hands and blessed him. Which means that there was no question of even fight was not necessary. When Mahabali got to the heavenly planets, already Indra and others, they left the planet and gone away, handing over everything to Mahabali. Mahabali took control over it. When he came back, Prahlada asked him, was there any fight necessary? He says, no, they are gone, they were not there. They have already abandoned everything and left the heavenly planets. So such is the potency or the power of the great souls. When they bless somebody, that has to come true. That is Krishna's vow. It has to happen. So in other words, a realized soul like that, Prahlada, or any great Mahatma like that, they are non-different from Krishna. Their mercy is non-different from Krishna. In other words, devotee's mercy, blessing, is as good as Krishna's mercy. Devotee's mercy is as good as Krishna's blessing. Devotee's blessing is as good as Krishna's blessing. Like Prahlada, like so many other Jadabharata, like Sukadeva Goswami, like so many other personalities in the Bhagavatam, you can see like this. So that's why Krishna says, in the Narada Maharshi says here, that tasman sajane bheda bhavad. You should not feel any difference. When a devotee gives you mercy or Krishna gives you mercy, it is one and the same thing. Then, so therefore, devotee's mercy is as good as Krishna's mercy. That is the next one. Tadeva sadhyadam, tadeva sadhyadam. Twice he says, tadeva sadhyadam, tadeva sadhyadam. Therefore, get that mercy from the Mahatma. Get that mercy from the Mahatma. Which means, he's saying that get ourselves ready for it to receive it. And then you will get it. Tadeva sadhyadam, tadeva sadhyadam. So, only by Krishna's mercy we will receive the mercy of the Mahatma, of the great soul. That is not much different. Krishna's mercy and Mahatma's mercy is not different. So a sadhaka, one who is executing sadhana, you can see when Sri Narada Maharshi is talking about sadhana, these are the things he is talking about. How to progress in spiritual path through sadhana process. Sadhana process is this. This is the thing what should be in our mind all the time. How to purify our existence in this world through and constantly surrendering to Krishna to receive that mercy from Him. So, Mahal Sevayam, and so this is why He is repeating that again. Now, so last three or four sutram, He is only talking about this one thing in the sadhana process, Bhakti Sadhanani. Labhyadevi tal kravayaiva. And he mentioned also, tasmim stajane bheda bhavat, tadeva sadhyadam. Only then it can happen, only then it can happen. Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti Devi, prasangamajaram pasham, alpanekavayo obido, saeva sadhushukrado, mokshadvaramabhavradam. In the third canto you will see, in Kapilam, he discusses there that this attachment to this world in any form is like a rope for the soul. It's like a rope for the soul, and it is difficult to break that rope. But if that attachment is towards great souls, Mahalmas, that will lead into liberation. That will lead to liberation. That is what he says here. Mayananyena bhavena bhaktim kurvandi e dradam malkrade tyakta karmanam tyakta sojana bandhavaha. And so those who have that understanding, Krishna, here Narada Maharshi says here that those who have given up all their attachment or connections with this world, particularly to their own friends, relatives, and they are the and all their other activities in this world, they are Mahatmas, they are sadhus in this world. So when Krishna says this, Narada Maharshi says there, what he is saying here is that in order to develop spiritual life, none of our material situation should become an impediment. Material life will go its own way. That you cannot change it. That is prarabdham. That's not in our control about it. Whatever that's happened, that has to happen. But it comes to a stage that spiritual life, Krishna says, that should be kept separate from that. Ta eva sadhava sadvi sarvasanga vivarjidaha sangasteshwadate prarthya sangadoshahida harahitem. So, therefore, in the Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti Devi, that always look for satsangam, association with the devotees. Sadam prasangan mama virya samvido bhavandi hril karna rasayana ka hadaha tajoshanadashu apavargavarmani shraddha radhir bhaktir anukramishadi. In the Bhagavatam you will see this word. Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi, then sadam prasangan mama virya samvido, wherever devotees are talking about my glories, Krishna's glories, bhavandi hril karna rasayanaha kathaha, that is a nectar for the ears. Karna rasayanaha kathaha, that rasayanam, that nectar, Krishna katha, tajoshanadashu apavargavarpani shraddharadir bhaktir anukramishadi, that what will happen is that once it goes in tajoshanadashu apavargavarpani avavargavarpani pavargam avavargam. Apavargam means our desire for liberation. Pavargam means increasing our material life. Material life will increase if you do not associate with devotees. Material life will increase. That is known, isn't it? We can see when you are not in association with devotees, when you are not hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, our natural tendency is to improve our material life or material sense gratification, whichever way we want to call it. So it says there, tajoshanadashu apavargavarpani, avargam will moksham or liberation, path of liberation will open up when we decide to associate with devotees and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and on so on. So tajoshanadashu apavargavarpani, what will happen? Shraddha, first Shraddha will come, become serious about it. Rati, attachment will come, and then bhakti. Shraddha Radir Bhakti Ranukramishadi. So bhakti comes at a much later stage. First it is Shraddha, then it is Rati, then it is Bhakti. That is the sequence in the Bhagavatam. Sadam Brasanga and Mama Virya Samvido Bhavandihral Karma Rasayana Kathaha Tajoshanadashu Apavargavarpani Shraddha Radir Bhaktir Anukramishadi. It will follow, one will follow the other. That is a statement in the Vasu, in the Kapila Vasudeva instructions to Devahuti Devi. Because you have to take their association, because they are not attached to sense enjoyment in this world. they have no attachment for sense enjoyment. Mahatmas don't have any attachment for sense enjoyment in this world. Therefore, one should seek their association, it says. So, therefore, satsangam is important. Then he says, the very next one, Narada Maharshi says, dusangaha sarvadeva tyajaha. Because it is like that, dusangam, attachment with materialistic people or those who are absorbed in material sense enjoyment, sense gratification, or those who are absorbed in the body, dusangaha sarvadha tyajaha, all circumstances one should give up. Because that will drive us back into bodily identity, bodily concept of life. So, Narada Maharshi has spoken here the glory of a satsangam, the glories of satsangam, and the rare thing that it has to happen. So, even if you have not acquired any wealth in this world, at least you should not create debt. Isn't it? You should not create debt. Similarly, even if you cannot get satsangam, at least you should not get into dusangam. That's the only thing. That's how they say. That even if you don't have wealth, you have not made any wealth in this world, doesn't matter. At least you should not get into debt. Similarly, even if you don't get association with Mahatma or Satsangam, at least Dusangam, association with materialistic people, one should avoid. Materialistic people one should avoid. Materialistic people means what that Krishna will discuss in the Bhagavatam, who they are, what kind of people they are. So, so there are, when we say materialistic people means materialistic people, personal association, associating with the modes of nature through various other ways also. Like they have, materialistic people have invented various ways in which to enjoy material life, isn't it? Cinema and all other kinds of sense gratification, clubs and various kinds of things, what they do. Then they also produced a lot of shastram for materialistic life. Books they have written, isn't it? Various kinds of materialistic literature. One should not read them. And because if you keep reading them, it will contaminate the devotee's heart. Devotee's heart. So all these things, one has to withdraw from that. If it is not connected with spiritual life, if it is not helpful for spiritual advancement, one should avoid. In other words, a strong warning there. It says, dusanga sarvadeva tyajaha. That association, dusangam, sarvadeva, by all means, it should be given up. So, Kapila Maharshi says that, so anything that drives our mind away from Krishna and takes it to senses and sense enjoyment, that's all dangerous. So, out of that, the most powerful ones is lust and greed. Lust and greed. Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Trividam naragasedam dwaram nashanam atmana. Kamam krodam tadha lobam tasma deva trayam tyajed. In the 18th chapter you will see this verse. Is it not? That trividam naragasedam, Arjuna, there is three gates open to hell. What are they? Dwaram nashanam atmana. For the soul to get itself destroyed. In that process, trividam naragasedam, three ways. Kamam lobam tadha krodham. Kamam krodham tadha lobham tasma deva trayam tyajed. Therefore, all these three things one should give up. In the 18th chapter, Krishna says like that. Here also, he says here that this kamam, desire, and lobham, the greed, these two things, those who have kept this as their goal in their life, their association is dusangam. Bad association. Kapila Maharshi says like that. Yadyasad vipadipuna shishnodara kradodhyamehi astido ramade jandu tamo vishadi purvavad. Then, yes, yadyasad vipadipuna shishno udara kradodhyamehi. He says, Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti, yadyasad vipadipuna asad vipadipuna shishno udara kradodhyamehi. Shishnam udaram. Belly and genitals. That's fulfilling their needs. This is the only goal of life. One who has taken that as the only goal of life, they are materialists. They are materialists. Yad asad bi padipuna. Then they are asad. They are asad. Their only goal is fulfilling the needs of the asad. Astido ramande jandu tamo vishadi purvavad. if you get into fall into their association, who are only absorbed in satisfying the needs of the belly and genitals, their future is that they will fall into the lowest species of life. They are falling into lower species of life. Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti Devi, by such association, what all happen? We will lose all the good qualities also. Truthfulness, cleanliness, mercifulness, control of mind, control of senses. All these things we will lose by their association. It is the most dangerous thing in spiritual life, to come to association with people who are absorbed in sense enjoyment. Who are absorbed in sense enjoyment. Teshu shandeshu mudeshu gandhid atmasya sadushu sangam na kuriya chochyeshu yoshil krida mrgeshu cham. Then he says here, teshu ashandeshu mudeshu gandhid atmasya sadushu. This is the third canto. Kavila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi, says here, deshu ashandeshu mudeshu, they are ashandeshu, never peaceful. You will notice materially, those who are enjoying material life heavily, they are always disturbed in their mind, isn't it? Always very disturbed in their mind. And some kind of rajogunam inside is so powerful that they will find them always disturbed. Ashandeshu, moodheshu, they are also moodha, they cannot think anything anymore. And what else? Gandhid atmasya sadushu, they identify with the body very strongly. That's all they know in this world, their body. And sangam na kuriya cho cheshu yoshil krida mrgeshu cham. Then their unfortunate situation is such that they will listen to, they will take directions from women whom they associate with. From the women whom they associate with. In other words, they have lost all sense of discrimination in this world. That's what it says here. That sangam na kuriya shocheshu yoshil krida mrageshu cha. That they will come to such a state that they will listen to only to those women who are giving them sense gratification. What they say will be accepted by them and they will listen to it. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also, Krishna has spoken exactly the same way. Now, this is a point what we have to think very carefully. Why Krishna has spoken like that? What Narada Maharshi says here, Krishna has spoken in a little different way, but the same thing. Krishna says there to Uddhava, association with women is the most dangerous thing for men who wants to advance on the path of spiritual life. Now, it's not that spoken to condemn women. Because Uddhava was a man, Krishna was speaking to him in that way. Suppose instruction was given to women, it would have been spoken the other way. So, it is either for men or for women. In either way, that relationship is dangerous. That's what the point is. That yoshal kridamrigam cha, he says here, yoshal kridamrigeshu cha. The men who are associating women in this mood, in this way, kridamrigeshu cha, just for their sense gratification, their association is very dangerous, he says here. In the same way, women also, for them it is dangerous if they associate with men who are engaged in that kind of activity. Equally bad for them. So it's not to show that women are bad or men are bad. Both of them, this association will make them bad in their spiritual life. It's not beneficial in their spiritual life. In the Bhagavatam, Krishna will talk about that later on in the 14th chapter. We discuss that. That he says here that one of the verses is Srinam Strisanginam Tetva Sangam Tetva Durada Almavan Kshemi Vivikta Vasinam Chindayenma Tandridaha. That is the statement in the Bhagavadam. Uddhava, he says to Uddhava, Strinam Strisanginam Sangam Tetva Durada Almavan. He says, Uddhava, if you want to get this spiritual knowledge to develop inside, first thing you have to do is Srinam Sri Sanginam Sangam Tetva Durada Almavan. Give up your association with women, and no, more dangerous than that, about men who are always talking about women. They are more dangerous than the women themselves. Why? Because they will completely destroy your spiritual life. That's why it said Srinam Sri Sanginam Sangam Tetva Durada Almavan. You should avoid their association as far as possible from such people. Kshemi vivittam asinam chindayenmam atandridaha. After doing that, he says there that alone he should stay in solitude and very carefully meditate upon Krishna. Think about Krishna's instructions like a jnani does Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. Should analyze the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam and absorb in Krishna. So there Krishna mentioned this in the Bhagavatam. And exactly the same thing he also mentions here, that the dusangam, kamam, krodham, moha, smriti, bramsha, buddhinasha, sarvanasha, karanatval. Due to sense gratification, what will happen is that kama, krodha, moha, smriti, bramsha, buddhinasham. That's all these things can happen, isn't it? That kamam, desires, krodham, anger, moham, delusion, smriti, bramsham, sarvanasha, karanatval. He will lose his sense of discrimination. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that, isn't it? Dhyayado bhushaya pumsam sangaste shubha jayade sangal sanjayade kamam kamal krodho vijayade krodhal bhavadi samoha samohan smriti vibhama smriti bramshal buddhinasho buddhinashal pranashyati pranashyati. Buddhinasham happens, he loses all sense of intelligence, discrimination, he will fall. He'll fall into to the bottom. He'll fall into the bottom. Sarvanasha karanatval, it says. It will destroy everything. Kama, krodha, moha, smriti, bramsham, buddhinasham. Kamam, krodham, moham, smriti, bramsham, buddhinasham. That is how it happens. That's how it happens. Kamam, krodham, moham, smriti, nasham, buddhinasham, sarvanasham. All, the cause of all this is dusangam. Association with people who are absorbed in the body. So, kama means after associating with them, we also develop the similar desire inside. After associating with them, that's what will happen. We will also develop a similar desire like them. And when it does not happen, then anger develops inside. Anger develops inside. So, kamam, krodham, moham. And then what is smriti bramsham? Smriti bramsham means whatever we have heard from Shastram and from the Acharya about spiritual life, unable to remember them and use them properly with a proper discrimination in life. Suppose you read Bhagavatam, you understood so many things from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, but not able to apply them in life. That is called a Smriti Bramsham. Smriti Bramsham means that unable to utilize the knowledge what we have received from the Shastram. Something is blocking. What is that? This association with the materialistic people. So, buddhinasha means the sense of discrimination. What is right and what is wrong? So, sarvanasha means, it says here, sarvanasha karanatvar. Sarvanasha means you will lose everything. Not only your sadhana, your spiritual desire for liberation, but you will lose the salsangam. Salsangam also you will lose along with that. All these are the children of dusangam, bad association. So therefore, one should give up bad association under all circumstances. So, so Krishna says to Uddhava, Vishayan dhyayadas chittam, Vishayeshu vishajyade, Mamanusmaradas chittam, Mayeva praviliyade. This is how Krishna puts it. Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, it's like this. Vishayan dhyayavas chittam. If your chittam, the subtle body, is absorbed in vishayam, sense gratification, vishayeshu vishajade. It will become that. It will become that. Sense gratification will become turned into, the mind will become into, develop sense gratification. Vishayeshu vishajade. Vishaya means, visham is poison. That vishayeshu vishajjade, you will not be able to come out of it. On the other hand, if the same subtle body, ma manusmaradas chittam, if always absorbed in Krishna. When we say absorbed in Krishna means, not only remembering the form, also remembering what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and constantly being absorbed in Bhagavad Gita Bhagavatam. This is what it is. Not simply remembering the form, but remembering those instructions of Krishna, Krishna's pastimes, of course, everything is a part of that. Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, this is Krishna. This is Krishna. Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. So, if we, Vishayan dhyayadas chittam vishayeshu vishajjade. If you allow the chittam to absorb in Vishayam, Vishayan dhyayata, if dhyanam means meditation of vishayam, sense of enjoyment, it will become vishayeshu vishajjade, it will become that. Maam anusmaradas chittam, if you remember Krishna and Krishna's instructions, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, my eva pravliyade, you will get, become like me. You will become like me, he says. Therefore, your mind will get completely absorbed in me, he says there. That just like if the mind gets absorbed in the sense objects, it will get attached to sense objects, isn't it? Bhagavatam has got only one thing to tell us. Somehow or the other, this mind, which is always trained to look for sense enjoyment, it should roll out from that. Chedakhalyasya bandhaya muktaya chaitmano madam guneshu saktam bandhaya radhimva pumsi muktaya. In the third canto, Kapila Vasudeva begins his instructions to Devahuti Devi like this. Chedakhalyasya bandhaya muktaya chaitmano madam. Then, Chedakhalyasya bandhaya muktaya chaitmano madam. Kapila says to Devahuti Devi, that your mind, if it is attached to this world outside, that will lead into entanglement. Guneshu saktam bandhaya radhim va pumsi muktaye. If it gets freed, material world means modes of material nature. Guneshu, three gunam. If it is attached to three modes of material nature, guneshu saktam bandhaya radhim va pumsi muktaye. That it will develop freedom from these modes of nature means that its mind is not attracted anymore to the three modes. Or mind is not. That is liberation. Practically, liberation means freedom from the three modes of material nature. That is liberated state. Liberated state is like that. Freedom from the three modes of material nature. So, chedakhalyasya bandhaya muktaye chalpano madam guneshu saktam bandhaya radhimva pumsi muktaye. Kapila Vasudeva says to, this is how Kabilam begins. Instructions to Devahuti Devi begins with these words. And here Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Vishayan dhyayadas chittam vishayeshu vishajjade maam anusmaradas chittam mayeva praviliyade. As long as we are absorbed in sense gratification, so many thoughts centered around sense enjoyment, not necessarily in a gross level, but in a subtle level also, it can happen. Only way for a devotee, the only opportunity is that somehow or the other, he has to find the time to absorb the mind in Krishna. That means Krishna, not only the form of Krishna, the deity form, but also Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, that is all Mama Nismaradas Chittam Ayyeva Praviliyade. If one absorbs, that is how in the past people have done. They spend their time and energy in absorption in Krishna. So, by all means, Krishna says, association with materialist should be avoided. Dusangam. Tarangayida apime sangat samudrayande. So, he says here, in a nice way, Tarangayida apime sangat samudrayande. In the next sutram, he says, that this kamam krodham, in the beginning, it may come as a small waves. It may come as a small waves. But due to association, because kamam krodham is inside, it may come as a small wave inside to disturb us. But if you get bad association from outside, what will happen is, it will become like an ocean. The whole thing will develop into an ocean, he says. It will be like an ocean. That is why I say, Tarangayida abhime sangat samudrayande. So, by birth alone, when we have got this material body, in a natural way, by birth alone, we have this lust inside us, kamam, desires inside. And the purpose of sadhana is to control that, So that is why Patanjali says, yogaha chittavritti nirodha. Chittavritti happens because of such thoughts developing inside. So once they are controlled, so instead of engaging in sadhana and salsangam, so if we fall into the association of materialistic people and their thoughts, what will be the state of this mind? Imagine that. Instead of engaging in sadhana and taking to the association of salsangam, if we associate with dusangam, bad elements, and we absorb in their thoughts, what will happen to us? This is the point Narada Maharshi is putting forward to us. How dangerous it is, association with such elements. So, Sometimes these small thoughts, what comes in due to lust or anger or greed or whatever, that can be controlled from within our own. But if you fall into the association of such people who cultivate such activities in life, then there is no hope of coming out, and that will become very deep and inside. So therefore, Narada Maharshi says here, by all reasons, by all cost, one should avoid that association. And there are two personalities in the Bhagavadam who have fallen into that situation in this way and suffered heavily because of that. One is Ajamila and the other one is Saubhari. You know both the stories in the Bhagavadam. Ajamila's story is in the 6th canto. Saubhari's story is in the 9th canto. Saubhari's story is in the 9th canto. So, there, you know briefly the story is Ajamila went to the forest. Ajamila had a good birth, trained very well by the parents in the spiritual way of life. Good training, good birth, and good life he had. In spite of all that, suddenly, one day he went to the forest to collect the kusha grass for the parents to perform their rituals. So when he went to the forest, he saw this prostitute enjoying with a man who was drunk. They were having a great time. Ajamila saw that, and initially he thought in his mind, I should not be looking in that direction, and pulled his head. But inside there was some vasana still there, and prompted him to look at that direction again. And although he tried very hard to pull himself out, he couldn't. He got victimized by that association alone, simply by that association. And then it was tundum, 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 tundum. It started coming down. Just like, you know, when there's a lot of steps, if you leave the ball at the top and you leave the ball, when it comes down, on every step it will hit and make this noise, tum, 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 it will come down. And the same way, spiritual life falling down is like that. And then he fell into association of this prostitute with that, and then he wanted to stay with her. In that process, he gave up everything, all his good training, all gone. Where was it? Where was all the good training he had? He had all the sadhana he has performed. He has completely lost. This is how that sequence, how it happens. Desire built up inside, and not to fulfill the desire, he decided to approach her to gratify his senses, and they decided to live together. And he left home. And although married, left home, gave up the parents, their association, didn't even care about them, and came and settled down in the forest with her. That story in the Bhagavadam 6th canto. You know 6th canto stories, yes. So Ajamila's story in the Bhagavadam is only to tell us this, that how gradually that association with her eventually destroyed him completely, and left home till 88 he lived, 88 years old. That is when the final incidents happened. He lived a very long time. This must have happened when he was probably 25 or 30. So remaining 40-50 years he spent in the forest with her. Many children were born, and the last child he gave him, his name is Narayana, due to the Purva Vasana, what he had in his previous life. That means all the good activities he has performed, that Vasana was also there, that prompted him to give that name. It says also that it is only what prompted him to give that name Narayana to the child. This is an important question, isn't it? That he could have given any other name, but he gave somehow the name Narayana to that child, the last child. Narayana namagam sudam vasana balal juhava. Narayana namagam sudam. Son was called Narayana vasana balal, he says. See how powerful the vasana inside. We are not conscious of our own vasanas, are we? The vasanas inside are acting all the time. And due to the power of that vasana, vasana balal juhava. Therefore, because of the power of, not that he was conscious of that, oh, you should give the children all Krishna's names or anything like that, didn't happen. It was only due to that previous vasana he called. Because his situation now with that prostitute in the forest, he was not engaged in any kind of spiritual activity. He was simply enjoying with her and living his life. Now that he has gone old, he has to leave his body. It was more or less that state. And at that point, he decided to call this child who had the name Narayana, which he had given to him due to his vasana inside. Vasana balal juhava Narayana namakam sudam. Narayana namakam sudam. Son was given the name Narayana because of vasana balal, because of the power of vasana inside. And so he called, and then Yamadudas came, Vishnududas came, all that what happened, you know. And then eventually, due to association with Vishnududas, he came to got his senses back. In the Bhagavadam, if you look, there are so many instances like this. These are two main things we've spoken about, him and Saubari. But there are others as well, much more interesting cases like that. This our island, Ayala Gita in the Bhagavadam, Ekadasham, you will see later. Pururavas' story. It is so pathetic if you read that story. That Pururavas, at least the only difference was, here our Ajamila was with this prostitute, but Pururavas got involved with Urvashi from the heavenly planets. And eventually he says that, I did not even know how the nights and days were changing. He was so much absorbed with Urvashi. In the life, Urvashi left him, and that is Ailagidam. He sings a song there. Krishna has a lot of respect for Pururavas, because Pururavas is in Krishna's dynasty a king much earlier than him, isn't it? In the same lunar dynasty, Pururavas, it is from Pururavas lunar dynasty begins. From solar dynasty, Pururavas broke up and came as lunar dynasty. Remember that in the story in the ninth canto, that Ila, therefore he is called Island. When one king, Sudyumna, he had to become 6 months man and 6 months woman. And in that time, moon, Chandra met him. The moon met him, and they had a son was born, Buddha was born. And that is his son, is his Pururavas. So Pururavas, through Pururavas, that lunar dynasty has come to this world. So Krishna says, my ancestor, Pururavas, has done this. And he has sung a song. I'll sing that song for you, he says to Uddhava. And he sing the, and there Pururavas says that, Pururavas was such a, in that race or that dynasty, all the kings were highly learned personalities. If you think about Yadu, think about solar dynasty personalities like Ikshvaku, Vaivaswan, and many others, Raghu, Dilip, Dasharatha, and all of them were powerful personalities at the same time, highly advanced in spiritual realizations. They all went back to the forest and gave up their body in a proper way. Spiritually self-realized, they left this world. So, Pururavas had the similar opportunity. But somehow or the other, he fell into this relationship with Urvashi. And Urvashi and they spent a lot of time together. Eventually, Urvashi had to come here. Urvashi and all normally won't come and marry an ordinary person in this world. we are like worms for Urvashi, and she comes from there. So Urvashi didn't care very much. When Urvashi came here, she had to come here because of the curse. She had to go from Mitravaruna. That is another story. So she had to spend a certain amount of time here. When she came here, she thought, at least let me be with the best person in this planet, which was Pururavas. Pururavas was the king and a very good-looking and beautiful personality. But still, for Urvashi, Pururavas is nothing. But due to, she had to finish that time in this world, and that much time was over, Urvashi went back. After Urvashi went back, Pururavas was crying, Urvashi, 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 everywhere looking for Urvashi. Where is Urvashi? Urvashi was gone. So that incident you can see there, that is Ayala Gita. You can read that. At the end there are certain verses Pururavas says about us, that if you fall into this, you are finished. Says you will never come back to spiritual life again. It will be very, very difficult. Like the way it has happened to me. When will I come back again? He thought. But due to, after a long period of time, this association with Urvashi, and then later on, due to some mercy from Krishna, that he got back his senses again. And then he realized that human life is meant for self-realization, not for enjoying senses. He leaves everything, goes to the forest, and then he goes back to Krishna. So, that incident in the Bhagavadam, Saubari Maharshi is famous. You know the Saubari story. Saubari was a yogi. Saubari was not a jnani. He was a yogi. That means he had a lot of yogic power in him. Saubari decided that I don't want to stay in the land and perform penances because so many distractions for him in his yoga practice. So he decided to go underneath the water and perform penances. He could control his breath there. So underneath the water, controlling his breath, he was performing his yoga abhyasam, yoga practices underneath the water. Powerful yogi he was, Saubhiri. So he performed all this yoga underneath the water, but one day suddenly he saw some fish, male, female, all having, enjoying together their children or family life he saw underneath the water, the fish family life. Even see, then he thought, why should I give up all these things? A thought occurred to his mind. Why shouldn't I have a family life like them? But by now what has happened is, lying underneath this water for hundreds of years, when he came out, the whole skin has become totally, disgusting to look at. And due to not eating properly, and with all the bodily features have become completely lost its beauty. Body looked so ugly when he came out from the water. And then he goes to the king, because if a sage wants to get married, he has the right to ask the king for a girl to marry. So he goes to the king and asks the king, I want to marry your one of your daughters. King saw this form and he couldn't hand over any of his daughters to him. And he says, so, but if you don't give, he will curse. That also the king knows. So very powerful sage he is. So he got frightened, but Mandhadava, I think he was very careful. He thought about it. Mandhadava, I think the father. Mandhadava says to him, in a very diplomatic way he answered, he said, I've got 50 daughters. You can go and ask them. They're all living there in the in the palace, wherever. Oh. You can go ask any one of them, whoever marries you, you can get married to them. So he left that choice to them to make the decision. Mandhadava, Saubhiri was not a fool. He understood the problem, what it is. What he did was, through his yogic power, he changed himself to a very youthful-looking, beautiful person. He transformed himself. And then he went to the place where the girls were living, to the palace. And when they saw him, everybody wanted to marry her. Everyone wanted to marry him. Everybody. And they start fighting each other. Then, so what happened at the end? He married all of them. 50 of them. All 50 of them, he married them. And he had an amazing householder life with these 50 wives. And at the end, Saubhiri saying there, Saubhiri's words you should read there, what a fool I was. I've gone so high in my yoga process and I've ended up like this. I'm nowhere now. And Saubhiri sings that song. So these two examples in the Bhagavatam is only to tell us, Dadarsha kaminam kanchit shudram saha ujishaya pitvaja madhuma ireyam madha gurnita netraya mataya vishaladhani vya nivedam niravatravam kridandam anugayannam asandamanayandigi. This is all the story of about Ajamila and the story of Saubhari. Aho imam pashyadame vinasham tapasvinasa charitavradasya andarjale varijara prasangat prachyavidam brahmachiram dradayad. He says here, aho imam pashyadame vinasham. My destruction, I did not know what was happening to me. Tapasvina sa charitavradasya. All that tapas, austerities and penances I have performed, it has all been lost now. Just because I have seen how the fish was enjoying their family life, I got attracted to it. And therefore he says, under no circumstances you should get attracted to family life. He says there. And not allow the senses to go outwardly. And take the shelter of the devotees. And so therefore the only instruction there is that somehow or the other avoid the bad association. That is the main thing. It is not that saying that you should avoid householder life as such, but if householder life is destined, it will happen. That is nothing you can do about it. But there, even in that state, Narada Maharshi is saying there that spiritual goal and spiritual realization must remain as the goal of life, not anything else. And that is what he was talking about it. And now from now on, this Bhakti Sadhana continues for some time. So we'll discuss that
next Saturday.